Good evening.
Oh, so their goal is just to
Yeah,
brighten
a
it
couple
up.
odds and ends. Some switches don't matter.
Oh, okay. I bet you had some good ideas for them.
Well, until I went to the basement, it was all sheetrocked. I'm calling this meeting to order, the Board of Selectmen Finance and Administrative Subcommittee, Thursday, February 1st, 2024, 5:30 at Fulton Town Hall. We have a special meeting agenda. And second on the agenda, our present would be Gwen Marion, Tim Sadler, Mather Clark, Rodney, and Jim Rupert. So second on the agenda is a discussion on employee wage and benefits. And here I think we turn it over to Jim for a moment.
Okay, so one of the things that the previous board asked us to do is to look, well, they asked two things. They asked me to put some money in the budget, in my budget this year, so that if we wanted to make some adjustments to some supervisor wages, that we would have a pot of money to do that. And we are looking at not just supervisor wages tonight, but we're also looking at some potential wage increases for senior and social services employees. So we were tasked with doing a study to see where Bolton lined up with other towns in the area with regard to our wages. And that is on a spreadsheet that's before you. And there are a couple of things. So it you know, when you look at this, if you've taken a moment to do so, you will find that in most categories with regard to our supervisors, we are either above average or at average. There are a couple of categories that we are really not making the grade with competitive salaries for a couple of our employees. In particular, the two things that that kind of stand out are our highway foreman is about $10,000 below the current average of the towns that we went out and looked at. And most towns also afford the highway foreman the ability to take the town vehicle home. And it is something that we did discuss with Sean upon his hiring and felt that we would potentially make that recommendation after his 6-month probationary period ended. That ended back in December. And so the group that hired him, although not all of them are currently on our board, would support that decision. I can tell you that Sean just lives over the town line in Marlboro. It's not a long distance. It wouldn't put an extraordinary strain on the vehicle.
So can I ask the first question? Anybody got questions? Yeah.
I will go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the based on the wages that the highway directors are getting paid, it seems to run a little bit with the population.
It does.
So that the Putnam through Coventry is much higher and their population is double. Is the size of the town double? Their responsibilities are double. I would assume, well, I mean, the responsibilities are what they are.
They are what
but
they are.
They got double the size of the crew, yep. I assume. Do any of these include benefits like a truck in them? Or
so we did the truck separately down here in the little box.
Oh, yeah, okay. I got it. I didn't read that one. So only these towns let their highway.
We didn't get answers from everybody. These were okay. The ones we were able generally fine.
And we currently do not let him drive.
The previous highway foreman did. I've given him permission a couple of times just because it made sense. But
Sean.
But on a normal everyday basis, that vehicle does not go home with him.
So why doesn't he have use of it when the previous foreman did?
Because the contract that he was under sunsetted that with
okay.
The leaving of that employee, with the retirement of that employee.
Okay.
I suspect if we don't proactively do this, it's going to come up as a point of negotiations in the supervisor's contract.
I'm in favor of it. I just was curious.
Yeah, I am too.
As to the background of being somewhat new here, I just like to hear the previous rationale for things.
Are you agreeing, Gwen? Do we feel like that it's consensus of the group?
I would say yes, especially if you're talking about Lance, right?
When Lance retired.
Yeah. So Lance had total use of it. Right. And are there limits though on it? Like, so I mean, if you wanted to go.
There wasn't for Lance. He also had personal use of the vehicle. And so my recommendation would be, is that we give him use of the vehicle for work purposes to be able to take home and for occasional personal use. So like occasionally I'll stop at Highland Park Market on my way home with a town vehicle. So that's in my contract is occasional personal use. So that if I'm stopping somewhere and somebody says, hey, well, I saw Jim at Highland right. Park Market, or I saw him at the bank with the town vehicle, there is some expectation that those things might happen from time to time.
So the word "occasional" is occasional. actually in the contract.
It's in my contract.
That's how it's described. Okay, yeah, because I don't think I'd want like if he Lance or Sean to say I'm driving to South Carolina to see my kids,
right?
And take
right.
the town truck. So I guess
we could define that
occasional or
right
reasonable.
We could define that a little more if you wanted, I think, but that's the intent.
Yeah, and I can see he might have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and need to go check out a road situation, and I don't think he should have to drive.
He does that now. Yeah.
So he has to drive here, switch vehicles, pick up the town truck, and then
if he does what I used to do, he doesn't pick up the town trucks, and he's just using his personal because. Yeah. You don't want to, this time of year, you don't want to get out of a warm truck into a cold truck.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, he's probably doing the same thing that I used to do, which is so just use my personal vehicle. Yeah.
So for him to go back and forth, he's going to rack up 3,500 miles or so going back and forth.
A year.
Right. Going to give him an extra 1,500.
And regardless of the mileage, I think it's a reasonable perk.
Yeah.
Well, especially his position,
right?
Yeah. Highway department. I mean, he should have a vehicle.
But, right. Yeah. I think it's just got to be taken into consideration when his contract.
Right. So
he gets a contract.
He's under the supervisor's union contract.
So he is a union member.
He is a member of the union. Yes, okay. That's correct. So this would end up either being negotiated as part of the contract or. Right, if we did this sooner rather than later, right. It would be a memorandum of understanding, which would probably become an element in the contract.
Okay.
When it's ratified.
His vehicle like that is, I don't know if you guys know, but it's worth a lot of money on a normal base, probably 10 grand or something. Eight, maybe seven, eight for an employee. My employees take them home.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big sum of them. They don't need the second vehicle. Their gas card is covered. They're driving back and forth to work for free.
And it doesn't cost me much.
And depending on which way they take off, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I just want to make sure that.
Yeah, and I think
we all know.
Yeah, the other thing to keep in mind, right, and you were probably present at some of the selectmen's meetings when we had this discussion, right? But with Lance's retirement, one of our goals was to have the highway supervisor and the buildings and grounds director work more collaboratively.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that's happened now is that the job description for the current highway foreman is different than the old highway foreman's position. So when our buildings and grounds director is absent, the highway foreman becomes the supervisor for the buildings and grounds department,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. And we are working, the goal is not only do employees have a higher level of supervision when the need arises, we're also crossing employees and sharing employees when extra hands are needed from one department to another. We're also sharing equipment better. I think the other thing that we have to consider when we look at wages is that if we're asking the highway foreman to fill in for the director of buildings and grounds in his absence, I your point is well taken that when you look at the highway foreman's salaries, they do seem to be somewhat commensurate with the town's ability to pay. But we have to remember that we're also asking him to take over for the buildings and grounds director and work collaboratively on a daily basis.
Right.
And there's a significant wage disparity between the two.
I think that's
something to consider when you consider that.
John takes a truck home.
John does have a truck, yes.
So
that he takes home.
I mean, John and Sean for the positions, we have faith in him, we wouldn't worry about it, but it does it become a precedent somewhere? So is the next highway foreman who lives in Putnam want one? And does that
go again, you could say that if you do exactly what they did the last time,
yeah,
and sunset it with the employee so that you have the opportunity to have this conversation again you know, when you get a new employee.
Okay.
But I think it's part of being competitive.
Yeah.
Right. It's about, you know,
absolutely.
It's about, you know, getting and retaining good employees. And that's, you know, that's important. You know, retaining employees today, and I shared with Amanda the other night that, you know, I've been offered a couple of staggering number of jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, really staggering numbers. And I choose not to go. And I've made my decisions that, you know, Bolton has been good to me. I'm trying to be good to Bolton. And I don't tell you that, you know, to be scared or anything, because I don't plan to go anywhere. But it's what's happening out there is that there is truly a shortage of municipal workers across every vein. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's a specialized position like a building inspector, a fire marshal, you know, a town clerk, an assessor. People are offering and paying staggering numbers. Towns are now offering sign-on bonuses. Mm. To get people to come on board. But that's something you never heard of. There is a true shortage of municipal employees, which is driving the cost of labor and municipal workers up. It's difficult. And what's happening is, you know, we're creating a bump, right? And we're doing that because that's what we have to do, to steal somebody from somebody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the town of Vernon and the town of Coventry, they went back and forth with the same building inspector like three times until Vernon finally put a big enough number on it that he went back to Vernon and stayed in Vernon. You know, and we don't want to be caught in that kind of a yo-yo cycle.
Right.
And I think that was one of the reasons that the Board of Selectmen asked us to look at this.
So, you mentioned that you had some money put aside for this event.
Yes.
Is it in next year's budget as well?
It is. I did not put anything in extra in for next year's budget. You know, I think what our goal was, if we wanted to make some changes this year, we'd make some changes this year within that, you know, amount of money that I have.
Right.
And then we would just simply budget for it for next year if we were making additional changes.
Okay.
So I lost you there. So the money is in for this fiscal year, meaning June 30th?
Yes.
2024.
Right. For this current fiscal year,
okay.
I have a pot of extra, a little bit of extra money. It's $10,000. So
oh,
it's not going to go that far.
Okay. And did you already have an idea of how you wanted to spread it out over the employees?
So, you know, I think we've come to the conclusion that yes, we feel that it's appropriate to give Sean the use of a vehicle.
Are we supposed to vote on that?
No. This group would just make a recommendation.
Yeah.
To the Board of Selectmen. The Board of Selectmen would act on it. Frankly, I hadn't really thought about, you know, what kind of a wage increase we might afford the highway foreman. I think if we were to do anything, it would be appreciated.
But if we recommend to the selectmen to say let's bump up certain people through June 30th, then that means we're going to have to continue that bumped up amount
into next year.
I mean, so we're really it's a permanent
change. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not. Yeah. Okay.
So I don't have a sense of timelines. Was Sean hired 7 months ago? Was that what I?
Yeah, about 7 months ago. Yep.
And then you obviously have a sense of when, how long other people have been here, and that probably plays into your recommendations of.
Yeah, you know,
spreading that $10,000.
I don't have a hard and fast number with regard to the highway foreman. I do know that we are having conversations currently off the record. Their contract expires June 30th, and I'm trying to hopefully work with the union to get some idea of where we might stand so that we have that budgeted.
Yeah.
And so we're not left holding the bag, you know, July 1st with, you know, things that we hadn't planned for. If we can get negotiations done, you know, through, you know, just conversations, and then, you know, come together and ratify that, you know, off the record conversations, and we can, you know, come together and agree to that, that means that we can put hard and fast numbers in the budget for next year. Right now, we're just gonna guess, right, at what kind of wage increase that we'd settle on and what kind of benefit changes there would be.
When does all that negotiation has this like started?
We've already started the, you know, the informal conversations, but formal conversations would have to begin here pretty shortly if we don't bring that to a conclusion.
How long are these contracts for?
3 years.
Three, all of them?
Yeah. They're typically 3 year contracts.
And who are you having informal conversations with? Individuals or?
So the president of the union. We've given them the opportunity to meet, to have conversations. And and Carrie Concatelli is currently the president of the supervisors union. So she and I have had some conversations. We haven't gotten into the weeds yet, but we're both working on it on our sides.
And are all the contracts coming due with the same in the same year? That's good.
You know, last year we signed we negotiated and signed a contract for the non-supervisor union.
So that was 23 through 26.
Yeah, we did that one, and the highway foreman is part of the supervisors union. The employees that work for him are part of a different union. We negotiated non-supervisors and the highway workers groups last year. So this is the only one that is due this year.
Supervisors?
Supervisors, yeah. Okay.
So that's 2024 through 27.
Yeah.
So are we saying something to the effect there's 6 months left between here and July?
I don't know that we have to do anything with the highway supervisor currently.
With the vehicle conversations,
I think if we can, as the board, if the board acts on the vehicle, I think that would be an appropriate and satisfactory benefit increase for this year. And then I think we could deal with the rest of it during contract negotiations.
Okay.
So that would be my recommendation.
They're not salary. They're hourly.
He's hourly, right? Because salary employees wouldn't get paid overtime when they plow. So he is an hourly employee.
So this wage is his base hourly.
A base hourly wage, which is
$2,040,
and he works 40 hour week.
Right. So it's based on 2040. Okay.
And you mentioned supervisors. Is that each one of these people here, or is it
just no? Because we have several people that are supervisors that are not in the supervisors union. I think that, you know, the next one I'd like to chat about is the recreation director. And although she is a supervisor, she is not in the supervisors union. So, you know, we get to make decisions and work directly with her as an employee to affect those changes. Now, you know, she did come to the board last year, and she did point out to the board, you know, that there was a fairly significant wage disparity. And, you know, what we had talked about, and I think is probably a pretty good idea, is potentially to work toward bringing her up to that average over a period of 3 years. So
has she been here a lot?
She's been here. So she's been here, I think, for 4 or 4.5 years. But she's only been in the position of recreation director. You know, she was interim for a few months, I believe 6 months to a year, and then she became the permanent recreation director. But by all accounts, she's doing a good job.
Okay.
You know, she does lack, I think, the experience that some of these other individuals have.
Summer camps and all that?
What's that?
Are they in charge of the summer camps and
yes,
all that stuff?
Yeah.
The racket, the basketball.
The basketball, yeah. It's a pretty busy, you know, different times of the year are different things.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty busy. So, you know, my recommendation is that, you know, we work toward bringing her up to that average over a 3 year period.
Would you recommend anything between now and June 30th?
Yes. Yeah, I would recommend that we, you know, make that you know, a third of that effective this year.
So that but there's only 10,000, but there's only $10,000.
Right. So, yeah, so
it's only 1,000 hours. So it's only half a year.
Oh.
So if you're going to bump it up a third, it's $3,000.
So about $3,000.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
It'd be only 6 months.
If you wanted a number, my recommendation would be 3,000.
3,000 for?
For this year.
For you.
Through June 30th?
So you're going to back it up and give it the whole thing?
So 3,000 through June 30th?
Yes.
I'm okay with that.
I guess, yeah, I just, I want to make sure there's a component of what we're talking about with increases has to do with evaluations.
It does.
And you know, I would like to, you just gave me a little bit about how you think she's doing a good job, but I really want to, I don't think we should just automatically say, bring it in line with other towns without knowing that these employees are doing a good job.
She has had her evaluation this year in, you know, what the two of us talked about for goals with her was to come up with some new programming. I would like to see or find ways to get more use out of Indian Notch Park, which is only open for 10 or 12 weeks out of the year. I'd like to see some programming happening there. I'd like to see some programming that is the nexus of her ideas and not just programming that's a continuation. And she has tried some new things, and some have been successful, some have not. And some of these things you just don't know until you try, right? You put your best foot forward. But she's organized, she's engaged, she's well respected amongst her peers. She participates in continuing education. She's actually taking a test, I believe, this weekend to become a certified Parks and Rec director, so that she takes her job very seriously.
She did the Halloween thing, right?
Yeah.
The school. She did the Christmas
and it, right. This year was a new thing with, you know, the tree lighting, which was a combination of her and I and Kathy McCavanaugh sitting down and brainstorming and coming up with new ideas. But at the end of the day, Stephanie was the one that put all of that together. So I feel like, you know, her performance level is there. The only thing that, you know, she and I have talked about is that, you know, I'd like to see her do a little more with expanding some of her own ideas.
Mm-hmm. So 3,000 there, that's from the 10K that you've saved or that we have budgeted already, right?
Yep.
What's the recommendation for the remainder?
I don't know that we need to go beyond this year other than the fact that we probably want to think about that when we're finalizing budget for that department for next year.
I kind of meant you have $7,000 left. That's to spend before June, right?
We don't have to spend it. Okay. Right? If we don't spend it, we don't spend it. You know?
So that was the recreation director was one that just was kind of red flag for you.
She's not out. She doesn't have a contract.
Yeah.
A union contract.
So she needs someone to advocate for.
I thought she was in the non-supervisor.
She union. Is not in a union at all.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So she's kind of freelancing.
Yeah.
So
if this will help you, the buildings and grounds director is in a supervisor's union. The chief building official is in a supervisor's union. The finance director is not in a union. This says highway director, but it really should be highway foreman is in a supervisor's union. The librarian is in a supervisor's union. The recreation director is not in any union. The town clerk is not in any union. The tax collector is not in any union. The assessor is not in any union. And the executive assistant is not in any union.
How come the last three columns are highlighted green?
I'm not sure. Well, I think that was, so my intern put this sheet together for us. I think because all three of these jobs are being done by the same person.
Done by the Kathy?
Yes, Kathy.
And how come this doesn't show all of the town employees, well, not lower employees, but like all the supervisor positions?
What supervisors do you think are missing?
I don't know. Is this all of them? I was under the impression there was more.
Well, I'm thinking like assistant town clerk.
Well, we did not, that was not one that we were tasked with doing. The only one that is not in here that I can think of is senior social services director, but we had done that one last year.
Okay.
That one, there was a significant wage disparity and we had made changes to that one. That's a very recent change.
And then school is a whole different world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's the only one I can think of that's not okay. On the sheet.
And I have a couple of questions. If you look under finance director and library director and town clerk, under Andover, the Andover numbers are exactly the same as Bolton's numbers. And I find that hard to believe.
Is that because they're shared? No.
Oh yeah, town clerk is, they're both 73.
And they're exactly, you know, exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting.
And they would seem high for Andover.
That's exactly why it was, that caught my eye. Especially, yeah, Andover paying a recreation director.
Right. Because another observation that I have is Bolton's population is below average, you know, this sampling of towns and this example, Bolton's population is significantly below average, but our pay is significantly above average, you know, in all positions, except for one.
Because we're on the top of the hill.
So I'm just, as an observation, you know, mm-hmm. talking about competitiveness and so forth, if you're relating it to population size of a town, we are already paying in that metric.
I agree. And I think a couple of towns.
I think I agree. Generally, we are where we should be.
For a town of 4,800 people, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, we're paying well above average for a town of well below average size.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So I just think that means we just need to be cautious.
Yeah.
And I also think it would be helpful to compare us to towns like Granby, East Granby, Canton. Even though they are the different side of the river, they have more of a similar structure. They have a governmental structure similar to ours. And I think their populations are going to be closer to ours than some of these towns would be. Like Hebron. Hebron's pretty big.
Hebron's pretty
well, you can see all of those towns.
The other thing that's kind of like, I think, skews things with Andover, Marlboro, and Hebron is they have RAM. So their whole
right.
school their whole structure of the town is, it kind of, to me, that I'm not sure exactly why, but
right.
It just seems from what I've, the little I've, you know, because their RAM budget, Jim, you may know this. They pay like a different tax for the school. Is that correct?
So I live in Ashford, right? And Ashford, Willington, and Mansfield
have a regional.
We own E.O. Smith,
yep.
Collectively. So we don't pay a different tax bill, but we pay a share of that based on our student population.
Okay.
So that's how we do it.
Yep.
But that doesn't really change the structure of town government.
Right. True.
And one of the reasons I asked Josh to include Ashford is because our populations are similar.
Yeah.
Although geographically Ashford is way bigger, our populations are pretty similar.
You know, I think there's the ERG, which is educational something group. That's the group of schools that are, that all schools are kind of clumped into ERGs that are similarly sized.
Yep.
And I think those towns are the ones that, that should be, we should be comparing to, especially, and also in terms of the fire department budget. We had a lot, we were given a lot of towns there that I didn't think were comparable. But if we look at these, or
that's a good, I hadn't thought of that. That's a good idea.
I think that's, somebody's already done the work to
compare. Figure out who's comparable.
Yes.
From that perspective.
Yes.
So how much does longevity have to do with
longevity pay is not a lot.
John's been here for a while.
So I think you hit on a good point, right? So let's take the tax collector, for instance. If we, you know, just use the numbers here for what they're worth, right?
Right.
You know, the tax collector is above that average.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's a factor of an employee who has been here for a long time, has served us very well, and she's been here, she's probably about the longest serving employee that's currently on the town's payroll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like, I think that does make a difference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said, you know, the buildings and grounds director, that's, you know, I've been here 17 years. He was here when I got
here. John? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that does, you know, the other thing that happened in particular with that position is it became a combined position between the school and the town, right? You know, John, that position used to just handle the town buildings. And the school paid that similar position at a much higher rate. So the two positions were blended, and the pay became blended as well as the benefits.
Right.
Which is when the buildings and grounds director ended up with a vehicle.
And he took on quite a bit.
He took on quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it saved us as a town. It saves us money.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not paying two people to do the same thing.
Because the two benefit packages is only one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and just, there's other good reasons.
And I can tell you that this, you know, the school has been quite satisfied with the results of that.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be good. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you recently get a new library director?
No.
Okay.
I think she might. I wonder if she's been here. Liz?
I don't know if she's been here longer than Lori or not.
I bet it's about the same. I mean, I think I wouldn't be surprised if Liz has been here like 35 years.
Right.
I mean, Liz is, yeah. I was just, something just trigger a thought that we're going to be talking in our next meeting tonight with the recreation director. And so I was just wondering whether she's has put in anything for an increase in payroll.
She and I discussed it. I told her not to, that, okay, you know, we would provide her that information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think it would be good if Josh could revise this chart and recheck those three Andover numbers.
Yep.
And maybe add a couple. Yeah, do the ERG.
Makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. That would be helpful. And I think the fire department should be looking at that too.
So how does this go forward? Do we meet again to go over it again, or
take one?
Are we just
informed? Is that something, because you said that, but I don't know if it was clear. Are we able to get the fire department info, or is that not public information?
Oh, you mean
as their budgets? You're trying to compare our budgets to their budgets, the ERG?
Well, I mean, they've already had the budget workshop. I don't know if we can go back and ask the fire department to go back, and maybe we can submit more.
You can use it in your budget deliberations.
Oh,
so right now you just had presentations.
Oh, I see.
And the next thing is, after you're done with presentations, the board is going to sit down and deliberate and make decisions about budgets. There's absolutely no reason we can't collect that information for you so that you can use that in your budget deliberations.
Okay,
so we ask Josh to do that.
Could he do that?
That'd be great.
And so that would be mean looking at what the fire department submitted to us,
all the budgets.
Yeah, how many other ones though that used other town information? The fire department is the only one I'm remembering now.
I don't remember.
So I don't think any others compared themselves to other towns.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're going to see any others compare themselves all the time.
Yeah, so it would be the fire department information and this employee information.
Right.
So you have a third party independent study.
It is, yeah. It's, yeah, definitely helpful to have objective information.
So does this come across us again? Or is this the end of the conversation about this?
Well, I think there's two things that I would like to discuss, or at least ask this group to consider.
Yeah.
Is I think we really should consider holistically what Kathy's doing and whether or not, you know, I'm really close to it, so I don't want to make any recommendations with that directly, but.
She seems to do a really good job. How long has she been here?
Kathy has been here. Well, Kathy started with the Board of Education and then came over here several years ago. So she's been with us a long time.
Nice.
But her job has evolved since COVID, since Joyce left, since Josh left. You know, we have given Kathy a lot of responsibility. She's handled it very well. She's gone from somebody, she's now available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, if any of you were to call her and say, I'm having an issue with my Zoom account, or if Rodney calls her and says, I need you to put something up on, you know, the town's website or put something out on the emergency notification system, you know, she is there to do that. She does it willingly, happily. It
does seem like she has a lot of responsibility based on this.
The HR, I don't know, is there much to the HR?
It's onboarding every employee. You know, it is managing day-to-day issues when people are, you know.
Are you thinking we should add some to that?
I think there should be some consideration.
What was her last increase? I guess 3 years ago.
Well, she got a normal bump, you know, in July like everybody else did.
3%.
I think she got 2.75%. And she does get an annual stipend, which is rolled into her paycheck, of $6,000 for emergency management, which costs the town of Bolton absolutely $0.
Nice.
Because she fills out the grant paperwork that gets us $6,000 a year, you know, toward her salary.
I have nothing to praise for. Same. You cause fixed, done. No answers or buts. To replace her would be extremely difficult, I think, from what I can understand.
Yeah, I agree.
Is she also the Water Pollution Control Authority
sewer thing?
Clerk? Yeah.
Sue Ellen does that for me.
Okay, because that's what used to be, anyway, a paid position.
So Sue Ellen makes a whopping $23.77 an hour. I would like you guys to consider giving her a dollar an hour increase. I don't want to lose her. I can't afford to lose her.
But just going back to the Water Pollution Control, I remember when Joyce was here, she was getting like $20,000.
So I'm the sewer administrator.
Okay.
But Sue Ellen is the one that helps me with Bolton Lakes agendas. She's the one that helps me pay the bills for Bolton Lakes. You know, she pulls the meetings together, does minutes. So Sue Ellen is a clerk. Essentially, she's the administrative assistant that helps me carry out those responsibilities.
Okay, and she's
not on this list because she's not a supervisor.
Is it a separate payment for what she does for the Water Pollution Control Authority versus what she does here?
No.
Oh, okay.
That is her whole entire salary.
She does all the pistol permits, has them already for me.
And the other thing is, you know, although she's not a confidential exempt employee, you all know the makeup of town hall here. There's nothing private that really could happen as much in my office. And she hears privileged information from time to time and has always been a good steward of that. And I think that, you know, there just should be something that separates her from, you know, other administrative assistants that, you know, have, you know, roles in the town. Not that all of them don't have value, but you know, this is one in particular that really does have, you know, a lot of different roles.
How much is she making right now?
$23.77 an hour.
So you heard my question the other night of Carrie, one of her, in her narrative, it said she wanted to bring some administrative assistant in line with other administrative assistants in town. So that just tells me that there are people are watching, like people are listening and know what other people are making in town. So I think we just have to keep that in mind. If we're going to bump her up a dollar, is that going to mean that, you know, everybody else is going to say, I want my administrative assistant to be bumped up a dollar?
And I think what I'm sharing with you is that, you know, there is some uniqueness here, right? That, you know, Sue Ellen is in a position where she hears privileged information on a somewhat regular basis and is a good steward of that information. Not every administrative assistant is in that position. And I think, you know, there is something unique to that, and there is something of value to that. And I think, you know, one of the things that we should do is if we make any changes here, you know, her letter of employment should include a confidentiality notice, which it currently does not.
So would she be making more than other administrative assistants in
how many
in
more Fulton? Are there? Well, there's
the fire department one, and
there's the town clerk as one.
I think the town clerk is considered an assistant.
Assistant town clerk.
Oh, is she? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But there's one at the fire department, we learned. There's one at social services.
And you've got one in the assessor's office, and you have one in the land use office.
Okay, and they're all hourly?
They are all.
And so where do they fall in comparison to?
I can't answer that off the top of my head.
It sounds like Sue Ellen is deserving. I guess I would want to just make sure we have taking a broad enough view of this so that we don't, things are not imbalanced.
But is that part of this discussion now, or?
It should be. I think it should be. If you believe the idea has merit, this is you know, I'm giving you my ideas, my recommendations.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you all are the ones that have to make the decisions. It's not me that makes the decisions.
And it's kind of unusual to go in an office and have a conversation and actually close the door.
And when you close the door, it might as well be paper.
Right. Uh-huh.
I mean, Rodney and I close the door every once in a while, but, you know.
Then it's really keep quiet about it. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, she sounds like she's valuable. I have no problem with that. My concern is just, you know, making sure.
You don't want to set something that's.
Just keep it balanced.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
So I think, you know, the other considerations are, you know, if you would like to, you know, make some changes to the executive assistant salary. And then, of course, we've got, you know, the folks that, you know, Carrie brought to us. And Carrie did tell me that she has some funding in her budget that she could absorb some changes this year. She said she could put forward about $6,000 toward making changes to her staff salaries this year.
So we're basically into the rec director. And that would be the three, right?
Yeah.
That $10,000 you're talking about is a year, but we're really only 6 months.
Right. We don't have to spend it all this year.
Well, no, I'm saying it's really only 6 months, right, from now till June. So if you did give them something, it would be for the 6 months, or would you?
So if we, like in particular with, I think with the rec director, if we made it retroactive, you know,
okay,
to July 1st, you know, that would get split up over the course of the rest of the year.
6 months.
But it would it would show the wage increase for next year.
Right. Okay.
So, the total wage for next year would be $3,000.
No, it would be what the proposal is to increase the wage this year, this current
by fiscal 3,000
retroactive. By 3,000 retroactive
for fiscal year 2024.
23, 24.
24, 25.
Would be another three.
Well, you know, pending an appropriate evaluation, you know, you could make that decision, but you know, what we've discussed tonight is potentially making that another three.
Right.
Yeah, I think we can't go back. Right. Right?
And so that validates that agrees with what my assumption was.
And so the Suwon part would be $1,000.
I wouldn't go backwards with that one.
Right.
I would just go forward with that.
Just be.
But then it would be locked in for the next year.
That's right.
Also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Then, I mean, it is kind of a special circumstance. You know, I mean, most of these people get 2.5-3%. So what's the 3%? They get 50 cents a year or something increased, right?
It's not when you're at this wage level, it's not a lot of money.
No. No.
Yeah, I would support increasing Suwon's by $1
right
per hour.
And to notate the confidentiality.
Yeah, I would add. I would definitely add that. Okay. For
yeah. And then as far as Kathleen, any recommendations there? I mean, you can throw a couple thousand at it. Retroactive for the year and put her at 62.
Well, it would be 62 for the administrative assistant,
right.
But the plus emergency management stipend doesn't change.
Right.
I think that would show her how much we value her.
It's an acknowledgement, anyways. Yeah. That would be my thinking.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm just concerned about
the future.
The future, yeah, because we're locking ourselves into these increases.
Well, the average is going to go up as well for everybody, for all the towns. I mean, they're not going to go stagnant. So she's just catching up.
And she's one of the only ones that is below average.
I mean, and here's the question I would ask you, right? And I would prefer that you guys deliberate on this one more than me, because she has so much value to me. It's too close,
right,
for me to give you a recommendation. Okay. Do you think we could replace Kathy?
Does she get overtime
for $60,000 a year?
This is salary. It's not
She occasionally gets some overtime. It is very rare.
She doesn't put in for it.
She often does not put in for it. We'll give her comp time. But if I was to call her right now and say, I'm having a problem with the Zoom link, there's not going to be an hour of overtime that shows up on a timesheet. This is a woman. What time do you come see her in the morning, Rodney?
Well, she'll be here at 7:30 right. Sometimes.
She doesn't start work until 8:30 in the morning. This is a woman who's here early every day.
Nice.
She gives a lot to the town. And I, you know, when I look at her value, I say, could I replace her for $60,000?
And those are people that should be rewarded.
And I know I couldn't.
Quality.
I know I couldn't. And she's, you know, understand that she is the eyes and ears when I'm out of this building. I mean, that is, you know, that has a value. She's, and I've empowered her to make certain decisions, and she makes them. She also knows if she's wrong, it's a learning opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it's safe for her to be wrong sometimes. But, you know, she really helps make this building tick like a well-oiled machine. And that's what I look at is if she was to leave tomorrow, could I replace her for what I have in the budget? And I'd probably be coming to you with my handout asking for $5,000 or $10,000 more to replace her. So I think anything we can do is show her that we appreciate and acknowledge her value. I think she's going to appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really good recommendation. I mean, a good evaluation.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like the rest of them look pretty well.
And then I think, you know, So if you, you know, if you're kind of agreed to maybe, you know, consensus on that at 2000, you know, Bobby was here. He thought the meeting started at 5 o'clock. Oops. He and I had a conversation.
And then he left.
He said he would be back. He said he'd be back for 6:30. He and I looked at, you know, the senior and social services numbers, and we thought if we, you know, if we agree with the information that Kerry's given us, his feeling was that if we went, you know, $1 an hour this year and started paying for the physicals, that would move us in the right direction with this group.
$1 an hour for who?
Drivers.
Oh, for the
drivers. For the drivers, the administrative assistant, and the program coordinator.
So you're currently in the $17 range. Right. Still go to 18.
And one would go to 20. And I think one of the things that, you know, and I brought this up a little bit when Kerry was discussing this with you guys with her budget, is that, you know, minimum wage went to $15.67 January 1st. And that's, you know, we're paying our lifeguards about $16 or $17 an hour. And they're just seasonal employees that work for us for 10 or 12 weeks a year. You know, we've got people who are committed to giving time out of their lives every day of the week to fulfill these positions. And they're not even regular hours, right? You can't necessarily count. And they have the flexibility to work around their life schedule too. But I think it's important to, you know, show that, you know, we appreciate people who are giving those kinds of commitments to the town. But I think Kerry made a good case for you to consider. So, yeah, but that was Bobby's thought.
Reasonable.
Yeah, I guess I'd rather wait on that one because the whole board heard that in the budget workshop. You know,
again, we're not making decisions.
Yeah, it was just a workshop. So. That was just them giving her giving her recommendation to us.
Right.
So
right. I guess I'm distinguishing that from what we're doing tonight right now, which is working on employees that the rest of the board hasn't talked about.
So if you look at the driver hours,
yeah.
There's a 1,000 hours here.
There you go. Yeah.
So I mean you're looking at if it's $1 an hour. You know, it's not, they're not working 2,000 hours each a year, yeah. Times five.
It's not a lot of not money.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I was just making a distinction between a budget that the whole board has looked at versus right. A yeah. Budget that only
he's
we
back.
We
he's back now.
So I'm fine with that.
Yeah, he was way early. Now he's on time. So if you guys are ready to wrap up the discussion, we can.
Can you remind me what we.
So I think what we agreed to, let's start backwards because this was $1 an hour increase for the senior and social services employees and starting to pay for the physicals that are required for their driving. An increase of $2,000 for the executive administrative assistant. $3,000 wage increase for the recreation director, retroactive to July 1st, $1 an hour for the other administrative assistant in the selectman's office, adding a confidentiality clause to her employment letter, and allowing the highway foreman use of the vehicle. We also talked about adding potentially Granby, East Granby, and Hebron to this list, but also looking at the ERG, checking Andover numbers, and asking our intern to look at these towns plus potentially those in the ERG to compare them to the information that the fire department shared at their budget meeting. Mm-hmm.
And one more question is if you could ask Josh what all the asterisks mean, because I see them.
You know what? He told me. forgot. He did tell me.
I was going to ask that too.
I think they're part time, but I'll double check.
Okay.
I think one of the things you have to remember is a couple of towns we have on here, Andover, Ashford, and Willington, are towns that we provide services to through shared service agreements. So those numbers skew things just a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Right, like our the assessor.
The assessor's number, shared, right.
Right, that's much higher than what we,
right,
what we're paying.
Right. All right, we're okay. Down to 3 minutes.
Okay.
You ready to adjourn this one?
Make a motion to adjourn. I'll make a motion to adjourn. Second.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Okay.
Good time, guys.
Hey.
Brief intermission.